Thank you. Did you want to quickly add?
I'd like to encourage my fellow OCAT brothers and brothers and brothers to...
There's a few sisters, too.
Mm. Right. Yeah. To join in and, you know, respond to some of the questions as well.
You know, and particularly to talk about the Ottawa context and how to mobilize here in what's essentially a federal government town, and this is a provincial campaign. That, for example, is one, you know, one thing that we need to wrap our heads around. Hey, you know, give that man the microphone,
all
and then
right.
that man the microphone, and I'll take a woman. Ha! Everybody, we got to speak.
I'm confused about whether or not the action that's going to be happening in Ottawa, would it not be more effective to meet in Toronto, ask people in Quebec City, to organize thousands of people across the province to meet in one place, Bay Street and Tratchett, and or at least confront them there?
Mm-hmm. Good question. This gentleman, right here in the front, John.
Yeah, I would like to know why it has taken so long for people to get organized and speak out against the Tories and what's been happening to the poor. People are being affected because, and I think, I don't know if this is true or not, but are getting more involved because of what has happened in Walkerton, the hospital cuts, different things. Are people really concerned with people living in poverty, or are they just using this as part of their agenda in order to get on the bandwagon? Because I feel as a person living in poverty and who is disabled, that people are not speaking out. Look what's happening with, the latest cuts were to what services that will be covered, like physiotherapy and audiology. Seniors are getting affected, and everybody's being affected. When Mike Harris came into power, he said that he would not attack the poor, or not the poor, the disabled, the elderly, education, or health. He's attacked every sector. As far as healthcare goes, we have a three-tier system. People that are on the streets, being discharged from hospitals, after having major amputations, with no place to go, have died. People have been sent to shelters, which are not adequately equipped to handle such people with intravenous and other medications. So in this province, we really do have a three-tier system, and the federal government is responsible. But this movement is not just happening in Ontario; it's happening around the world. I've been following I was lucky that somebody gave me a computer, because otherwise I wouldn't have been able to afford it. And I've been following exactly what's been happening with people who are on disability or welfare in other countries. And the exact same policies are being implemented because of the World Trade Organization and other agreements that our governments are signing. So it's not just the federal, and it's not just the provincial. So we really have to start standing up and speaking out.
I've got the woman beside Sister Helen, is that? And then Brian, an OCAT member.
The woman back here spoke about maybe I should withhold my rent money or not pay to take Transpo. It'd be very risky, I think, in her case, because they'll boot her out of the street and Transpo won't show up at her door anymore. But for average people who take the bus, I really wonder why people keep on paying, because we pay so much for transit, and really it's the poor subsidizing the commuters from Kanata, because they're getting a really good bargain for the distance they travel. And now Mr. Shirelli has raised the fares and he's given a tax cut. So at what point do people say, I'm not paying for the bus anymore? And just a lot of people kept getting on, and if they had to phone security guards to get them off, that really tie up the bus service, it wouldn't know until people were on board who was going to hold things up. And it might be quite effective. Transit should be fully funded, like schools, police, fire, and everything else. the cars are subsidized.
Right. Yeah, it's Brian. Brian's next. Yeah, Brian's next. Dan, you've already had a chance, so everybody
else gets to
go.
Well, I think
that's
a really great point about transit, and I think it's also important to remember that over the last 15 to 20 years, a number of times, bus drivers in this city have been on strike, and at the forefront of their demands have been questions that would have directly improved service in this city. Bus drivers and unionized workers are our allies in this kind of activity, and Local 279 of the Amalgamated Transit Union, which is the union for the bus drivers, is a group of people who have a long history of respecting picket lines, not crossing them, and in principle are a group of people who would like nothing better than to see free public transit available to everybody, guaranteed just the same way as we wish education would be guaranteed. That is something that would directly improve their working conditions. And I think it's precisely by making those kinds of connections that we can, we can, on the one hand, do something that helps ourselves and at the same time link up with groups of workers who have the power to actually put some real serious pressure on the government. So, talking to transit workers, talking to the OC Transpo drivers, about actions in October might be one of the ideas that we want to talk about next week. I just wanted to ask John if he would talk a little bit about the importance of connections with the labor movement, not just for October 16th, but in the months to come. Because I take it, John, that you're not talking about a campaign that's going to happen on one day or even in a couple of weeks, but something that's going to start in October and then hopefully build over a period of time. And I know that one of the slogans for the OCAT campaign is that it's time to stop the retreat. And I think it's important for us to remember that in the first couple of years after the Harris government was elected, we weren't on the retreat. We were on the offensive against the Harris government for a number of years. And then we ran into some serious roadblocks. And some of those roadblocks constructed by people in the leadership of the labor movement. And they still, some of them, refuse to get behind the need to take on the Harris government. So I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the labor movement and the role that the labor movement will have to play if we are to get from October 16th and the first few weeks of October to victory in actually defeating the Harris government.
Anybody want to go for a first time? Was there something on this side?
Yeah, a couple of unrelated with each other points. One, a remark about the point of going en masse to Toronto and shut that one place down. I don't know what is the best, but I have the opposite opinion, for instance, about Quebec. And Quebec would have been, it was massive, it was impressive, etc. And 5 days later, except for the violence, everybody had forgotten about it, in a way. What I thought would have been really effective would have been if there had been nobody in Quebec. And you can't organize that, I know. But if nobody had been in Quebec, and they all had been demonstrating, each in their own community, and then things would have looked awfully silly. Another point that I thought was important, the person who brought up the risk-taking, and for young people I think that is a problem, and I know that puts the onus on me to some extent, but people who are retired, they are low risk, because what can you do against them? You're not going to club a 75-year-old over the head so easily. If you get arrested, well, typically you have the time, much more than the others. There's a number of advantages to being old, you know.
Was there a new speaker on this side? Oh, you wanted? Did you want to speak? Okay.
Well, yeah, I guess then. I'm part of that organizing committee, so yeah, I'm just before I do begin, conscious of what Heidi's previous comment was. Is there any women in the audience who have anything to say? I'm really conscious that it's really open 90% or 95% guys.
Okay. There's one, and then you. You in the green shirt.
My comment was just sort of relating to the sister's comment over here, and it's a bit about, like, we had a Phenom Bomb, well, there's still a Phenom Bombs organization in Ottawa, and to be honest, like, it's never run perfectly as it should, but it's always run, and it's, and we've made it through two winters, which I think no other Phenom Bombs in Ottawa has ever done. I think that, in terms of community building, for me that's been a big way of community building, because it's something that every Sunday we'd get together, we'd cook, you'd talk with people, always encourage. It was mainly a lot of street youth and a couple of other street people would come out as well, but mainly street youth that would come out. And what I saw really after they passed the squeegee, the public act thing there, really the amount of people that come down to Phenom Bombs really has gone down, and or really did go down at that time. So it's something that we never got the chance to organize around, but something that still would be nice to do something about. That was mainly what I wanted to say, and that's it.
Okay. The man in the green shirt, did you have your hand up? Yeah, that guy. Well, you're going to wait now.
Just very briefly, I had a suggestion for somewhere you might look for support and coalition building, and it was in response to the very important comments about community. And although there are certainly individuals and you know governing parties and wealthy corporations driving an agenda, there's also a way that this agenda is manifested in very real terms, which is shutting down the possibility of democratic community. This is the amalgamation process, whereby a large urban center like Ottawa simply takes over the governance of surrounding rural communities. And, I mean, immediately there's a reduction in democratic representation for those local peoples. And I think also in very real ways, the way transportation and policing and et cetera have changed, these communities lose power and lose sense of themselves as communities. And I know that there was an active mobilization against the amalgamation process in Ottawa. Perhaps a little bit of archival research into who those groups were that were fighting their amalgamation, perhaps you might find allies and people with some organizational experience under their belts.
Dan, and then you.
Okay.
Okay, well, Dan has been waiting for a while. I'm the chair. I say who speaks. I'm a woman. I get to say so. Go, Dan.
My comment is, there's a new group in town in Ottawa called the Humanist. They ran candidates in Toronto. You've never heard of them, John? There's just this group called... I just saw their poster and I went to their meeting, and they're just called the Humanist, some sort of humanist group, but they ran candidates. I'm wondering if, John, you've run candidates locally in Toronto, OCAP candidates. And then my second question is, I don't remember my second question, but my first one was, has OCAP thought of running candidates in the Toronto ridings, and, you know, last election if they ran any, or in by-elections? And then I had another question, but I can't remember it. Okay, that'll be my question.
No, I think we're going to finish up. It's 10-2, so I'll take this. You know, people, this is now or never, if you want to.
I wanted to make a comment about organizing, and I think that a lot of really positive things have been said, and I think we do need to keep in mind, we have to have a critical consciousness around what happens within the organizing, and I just raised this because I'm trying to be positive and acknowledge the positivity. I also think that disability has come up, which is really important. But like, I guess I'll be a little bit talk a little bit about how I've heard things, and I think that the response to the comment that the Harris government may be planning to put people into institutions who are disabled needs to be met with the reply to take up the sisters' community building challenge, which is that we won't let that happen, no matter whether it got legislated or not. if it's on paper or not, we will not let that happen to other people. Secondly, if we're being creative in terms of the way, I've heard so much creativity in terms of organizing and the challenges and the ways that we can politically mobilize, we have to keep being creative in so far as we have the transit strike, or sorry, the withholding payment on transit as an idea. We shouldn't have paratranspo, because we should have accessible transportation. So please let our demands include everyone, and please, if people feel that their issues are being dealt with but not dealt with in the best way they can, please don't be silent or shy about bringing that up, because I'm not. And I respect, it's not like chastising anybody, it's just let's work for, you know, inclusivity and remember who we all are. Bring the gender politic around to all the other stuff too.
Yeah. Go, John, I mean, if you wanted to.
Hi, actually, there's someone new there. I'm willing to totally give up my spot.
Well, and we want to give the two speakers a chance to come back and finish the meeting up by 9, so if, you know, I'll give you another minute to put your hand up. If not, well, then I'm just going to get them to close up.
I'm talking about taxes and politics. When Harris came into power and he gave back $200-$300 to some people because he paid too much taxes.
The microphone has to go in front of, it has to stay there, yeah.
I don't think that was right. I think he should increase taxes and not having people on the street and not having poor children on, they are getting some breakfasts there so the rich children can make fun of them. I don't think that's right. Taxes should be increased. Because if you have more, much more in it than what you need, why shouldn't you share it with the, and who can do better than government and who can introduce that?
Thank you. Did you want to speak again? Did you have your hand up? No? Anyone else? Ah! There, I got 3 women right on. 1, 2, 3. And then we'll let our speakers come back.
Just a very brief word. Gentleman down there asked whether people care about the poor and people who are in poverty, and I think it's become very difficult for people who work very hard and don't have any time to actually take time to understand what's going on in the community and how people are suffering. Over many years, I've seen many more people on the streets, clearly not there for the sake of the fun of it. And one thing I resent greatly about the Harris government, although I am a taxpayer, I'm also a citizen, and I think he values taxpayers more than citizens. Mm.
The woman behind you in the green shirt, way back there. That one, yeah.
Oh. Hi, just a couple of points. I wanted to talk about the idea of coalition building and communication. Certainly email has facilitated getting information around very, very quickly. And I, one of the things that I've been noticing, I've been doing an awful lot of work, but particularly within the field of education, because that's what I care about most. And I've been realizing lately that to get other people to care about education, I need to start caring about health and poverty and the other issues. And I think one of the big problems electorally has been that a lot of us have recognized what's going on within our particular sector, but unless you're very active in the forefront of organizing things, we've missed out a lot on what's going on in other areas. And as a teacher, I know that I have a lot of colleagues that voted for Harris in both elections. And the first one, I gave people the benefit of the doubt. But in the second one, I started asking many more questions, and I realized that there were a lot of people that understood what was happening to, in education, but were buying the message that they were hearing about all of those other sectors, and figured, well, yeah, he's messing up here, but other things are getting better, and so we need to be looking at the other sectors. And as people in the room who are obviously very interested in what's going on, and I'd like to see each of us make a commitment to get involved in something other than our initial interest, to make a specific effort to find out about something that you don't know about yet, so that you can be conversant in your staff rooms or across the fence to your neighbor about something that is secondary to your own interests but fits a bigger picture for the regular voter or newspaper reader or average citizen. I've heard a lot of people here talk about problems with what one group does may not quite fit in with the agenda of another group. And I think we need to recognize that this is going to be a loosely connected movement. The labor movement has tried really hard in the last years to do something all as one. And we failed miserably because we've each got our own agendas. And I think that the loosely knit organizations are going to be the ones that succeed in the end. That we have to recognize that our agendas are slightly different, although we all have a very basic commonality that we can agree on, and we've got to take a big breath and accept those differences. That said, we can still all have a common theme, so that when John does his thing that a lot of my members would be horrified with, he can send a message out that they can hear and that they can accept. And when my members are doing something which his members are going to think is totally wussy, we can still use the same message and get that basic message out, so that we don't have to be working 100% in the same direction on the same path, as long as we're all going in the same direction and the people that are listening hear that commonality.
Sister Helen, last word to... Okay,
getting back to October the 16th. I think that there's something wrong when we think just like Katina right now. You think like putting everything in Kananaskis will keep us out. We have to think locally. I mean, the way you look at the rich people, the way they think they're going to take us out, I don't know how they're going to do it. Let them gather in somewhere on Mars, I don't know. So I think we have to learn to act locally. We don't all have to go to Toronto, maybe what you said, I was thinking about it a while ago. If we all go to Toronto, I know a lot of people are going to be eliminated. A lot of people did not go to Quebec City because they couldn't. Maybe for us, we have to think about that. Maybe October the 16th would be something so good if across all over the province, wherever we are, community building brought us to act locally.
Right. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to let our speakers wrap up. They've got 1 minute apiece. No. No, we're not getting thrown out of the room. Take your time, and I'll take you in reverse order.
I'd just like to make a response to the really good question about do we stay in Ottawa or do we go to Toronto on the 16th. I think that's still an open question, and I think that's one of the really important reasons why we need to get together and start discussing, making collective decisions what we want to do in the Ottawa region in terms of this campaign. So I think that's open, and I think Sister made a really good point about staying in our communities and starting to get things rolling here. So, yeah. John, did you want to add anything to that? John Hollingsworth?
I just think that one real thing that we all need to take out of this is that if you have ideas for action, we've heard lots of them, we really need you to come out next Tuesday, and I'll put that information out again. See if you got this the trouble. But it's at 233 Gilmore, which is the Public Service Alliance Building. Be the same time, same day. And we'll propose a structure at that point in time, but it's to get everyone in at the ground floor, like we sort of have been doing today, but to focus kind of on that kind of discussion. That said, I wanted to put a few things to forward to you. One of the big themes that's come out is housing. One of the things I'd like to work on with people would be an anti-eviction squad built around the principles of direct action casework that John Clark has talked about. It would take probably half the people in this room to do effectively. We could talk about that. I'll try and bring a proposal, and that'll be my contribution. But think along those lines, those of you who are here, you know, just bring something together which relates to the sector. I think there was an excellent point that was made by the second to last speaker about that we need to, if it's a coalition, we need to work on other areas and in other areas that we haven't been so familiar with. Me, I'm coming from this from the labor movement and a bit from my past work in what I guess I used to call the anti-poverty sector, which I'll try and refrain from ever doing again, but I'm not a poor person anymore, so I probably can't speak to that anyway. So yeah, just to think about working across sectors, I think that's really important, and to respect the differences that are going to come out of this. And that's all I wanted to say, and I hope as many of you as possible get involved.
You should have put yourself on the speaker's list after all.
She set me up.
Well, we got two Johns speaking for the price of one. There you go.
Just a couple of final points. I would stress when the discussion came up around where actions would be done, that it is indeed the case that what we envisage is a wave of resistance that passes through the province. And if October the 16th in Toronto, there was interest in taking people from a lot of communities to Toronto to support it, fantastic. But that would be no substitute, in my opinion, for locally based actions, which in terms of their cumulative effect would be more powerful than anything that could happen on Bay Street. Bay Street is really being selected because it has an important, it's an important symbolic beginning, and it can cost them some money directly. But this is, you know, I don't want to suggest it wouldn't be enormously important to get the maximum number of people there and do a really hard-hitting action. But we want this to spread all across the province. We want this to happen way up in the north. We want it to happen in eastern Ontario. We want it to happen everywhere. We want to demonstrate that this. The population in this province as a whole, a massive section of it, is actually mobilising against the government. The question was also asked about the labour movement, which I think is in many ways a very, very central question. And I'd like to say that I believe that there is a power in the labour movement that is enormous in terms of the resources that movement has, but more than that, the place that it holds. Its ability to actually stop production, the flow of goods and services, it makes it the most powerful institution. But if the greatest power lies in the labour movement, it also has to be said, in my opinion, I must say this honestly, that some of the problems in terms of the orientation needed to fight this government as it needs to be fought are also centred very much in the labour movement. I can't hide the fact that when we did the action in Whitby at James Flaherty's office, a number of trade unionists, including the national president of the Canadian Auto Workers, came out strongly condemning the action, in the latter case actually prepared to defund our organisation as a result of it. Now, I mean, I don't want to score particular points against one individual union leader, but I'd just like to make the general point that if we get an attack of queasiness over some Tory filing cabinets in the road in Whitby, it's hard to see how we're going to be ready to move against this government all across the province as we need to in a militant mood of movement of economic disruption. There's work to be done. There's work to be done within the labour movement. There's a need to recognise that the old methods of compromise, where industrial action, workplace action took place within the boundaries of contract disputes, and where their employers were making some concessions and there was a bit of back and forth and it all got worked out around the table. At least that's how some people remember it. I don't know if it's really like that. But that sort of model of compromise has come to an end, and the labour movement has to break out of the bureaucratic straitjackets that are holding it back. It has to be prepared to take its place in the front ranks of this movement. We can't put behind us what happened in Quebec City in terms of the defence. I don't think we can just sweep that aside. It was an enormously important thing that we need to draw some lessons from. That there is this notion that that protest is about respectability and protest is about favorable coverage in the media and all the rest of it. I'm afraid we're well beyond that. And we want every section of the labor movement to join us in this fight, and we don't want to put up any barriers. But at the same time, it needs to be said, people in the anti-globalization movement, communities under attack, poor people, all kinds of people are moving forward, ready to engage in this struggle, and the bus is leaving and we're not waiting for anybody. And that's the reality of it. And we want the labor movement there. We want the labor movement to be front and center in the fight. But if any particular section of the labor movement feels at this point that they're not prepared to engage in the struggle, that's very sad. We'll work to overcome it, but we need to have the labor movement there with us. And we're not going to wait for that participation. This struggle is underway and it's serious. And I'd just like to finally say that what we are proposing is something that I think, if this emerges in the way it can and must emerge, what we will have created by this autumn will be a model that everybody across this world can really look to. Because this won't be about protesting a gathering, and this won't even be about shutting down a reprehensible gathering of pirates. This will be about people in a major political jurisdiction getting together and saying the implementation of this agenda has got to stop, and we're going to take the measures necessary to stop it. That's what we're posing here. And I only want to echo what John said. Please come out to the meeting of OCAT. Please get involved and please play the role that you need to play in terms of ensuring that in Ottawa the movement plays the devastating role against this government that it can and must. Thanks very much.
Thank you to both of our speakers, and thank you for answering the call that OCAT put out to begin to start this campaign. And encore, j'aimerais vous remercier de la part de la coalition d'Ottawa. They're not going to lock up the doors right away. Feel free to stick around for a few minutes and chat informally amongst yourselves, ourselves. And then I believe libations after that are in order. I'm not sure. Anyway, thank you. There's literature outside. I don't know if Octopus Books is still there. There's sign-up sheets as well. Make sure that you put your name down on the sign-up sheet.
Do you want to go home or do you want to go for a train? Or what would you like to do?
Sure, really quick.